So we see why Alice Miller is key. Because that is, I mean, all of these are like key pieces in the puzzle of why it's been so difficult for us to get our freedom, given our massive superiority in numbers. Continuing. This is with chapter 3 of Wallerstein. Since, in addition, this coincided with a period of accelerating economic and social change, the most urgent problems facing France and Great Britain had now become the social problems, quote unquote, of industrialism, and especially those of the quote, new proletariat, the horrors of uncontrolled breakneck urbanization. And that's from a quote from Hobsbawm. Class conflict would therefore come to mean something different from what Saint-Simon and Guizot had had in mind. The revolution of 1830 itself came at a moment of particular economic difficulty for the workers, high unemployment, unusually high wheat prices. It provided evidence of the utility of political uprising and served to stimulate workers' consciousness, a sense of having common interests solely as proletarians, a sense of the dignity of the worker. The liberals perceived this change immediately. Thiers said in a statement to the Chamber of Deputies, quote, "The day after the revolution of July, we saw our duty to moderate it. In effect, it was no longer liberty, but order, which was in danger," unquote. The next few years were to see worker unrest of a new intensity and quality in both France and Great Britain. It has been increasingly noted in the literature on strikes and workers' unrest, how much of this activity was that of artisans as opposed to workers. Although the line is not always as clear as some seem to think, in general, those referred to as artisans had more technical skills, higher real income, more workplace autonomy than other kinds of workers. Many of these artisans were members of organizations that had been in existence long before the 19th century and which functioned to advance the welfare of their members through social support and mutual help. The organizations were hierarchical and built around rituals. These organizations were the only ones permitted at all in the periods when trade union organization had been strictly forbidden, and then only under the careful surveillance of the authorities. And Kropotkin talks about this as well in that essay, Science, Modern Science and Anarchism. That it has been obvious from its inception that the state existed to serve the creation of a rigid hierarchical order of the kind that Plato had in mind, that they serve the powerful. The state serves these tiny, tiny few. Continuing. In the changing political situation after 1830, however, even mutual aid societies began to take on new roles. As C pointed out, quote, "Many of these societies served to hide veritable resistance organizations, hostile to the employers by creating auxiliary monetary reserves, bourse auxiliaire. They created funds to support the unemployed and strikers," unquote. Thus it could be, as Stearns has argued, that such artisans, in quotes, were more likely to engage in strike action at this time than the, quote unquote, factory workers, who, being in an even weaker position, were almost totally quiescent. And my comment on this, while Wallerstein, in his use of quotation marks with the class designations, while he acknowledges the fluidity of the categories into which we are put for ease of analysis in academe, perhaps, and to facilitate powers planning, for sure, the critique in this space goes further. You recall during the September 27, 2015 show, my comment that class categorizations have no valid use for us, exist rather to serve power's ideological purposes. So when we note the hierarchical ordering systematically promulgated, imposed by these totalitarian social engineers in Plato's mold, we shouldn't forget what Plato said to rule of his day and beyond. If you want to win, says Plato to them, then the gulf must be widened between the rulers and the ruled, unquote. And then from Popper, the stronger the feeling that the ruled are a different and altogether inferior race, the stronger will be the sense of unity among the rulers. We arrive in this way at the fundamental principle announced only by Plato after some hesitation, that there must be no mingling between the classes, unquote from Karl Popper. And of course, that has been moderated in our current iteration, today's group of Plato's tribesmen. As Plato reminded them, you must temper the ideal with the possible. I believe in the U.S., a lot of these Plato's tribesmen took that literally at first, took the notion of a biological race in the same sense of that Plato's using race, and tried to, and definitely used, they definitely inculcated in every possible way racism in the white population. Nonetheless, we commingled. What can I say? It's a different world today, but it's also a very dangerous moment for power, our all getting along so well. So it's no mystery that they have used their intensive infiltration of everything to get their folk to, in any possible way they can, to try to create the picture that there is racism intensifying, not just here in the U.S., but fascism all over the world. They want us to despair at the very moment when we have our key in hand, looking at the door, looking down at it, thinking, well, does it fit or not? And all we got to do is pool our thoughts and realize, yes, indeed, it do. Change it gone, folks. We got to get together and talk about it. So they do not emphasize racism or homophobia today, although they did once, but they got other worries. They're worried about us getting together globally. That's their fear. They're worried about the nation state legitimacy breaking down. That's their fear. And we're talking globally. And we'll talk more about that next week. So there must be no commingling. That this is updated Plato. That it is Plato updated that imbues these self-proclaimed liberals with such self-righteous fervor and conviction, I think there is no doubt. And we should note as well, as we have before, that when we agree to self-limit ourselves by keeping to the narrow categories imposed by self-appointed global quote-unquote rulers, it means the atrophy of thought itself. What a bunch of nutcases rule our world. These power-mad few, simply because they've amassed the means, been planning generation after generation to impose on us their sick worldview. It's long past time for us to amass our means too. Thank you for taking the time to think these things through. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep doing it and do it with each other. Let's move. Let's start talking to each other, having group discussions. We have the right in the U.S. to do this without getting shot down in the street. So let's hurry up before they take that one away, okay? I'm so grateful you're out there. I love you so much. And when I'm home alone, because it's like a prison there these days, I find, unfortunately, I'm searching for the sunshine, and sometimes I don't see it. Until next week, peace. Yes.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone.